Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Eileen Gaffin, your host for Reputation and Influence, and we've got a great topic today. It's about creating a workplace culture where respect, safety, and trust are as important as the bottom line. Who can say that about their organization? Our leading lady today, and I'm happy to introduce her, is Esther Weinberg of the MindLight Group. And good afternoon, Esther. Welcome.
Hey, it's so great to be here. Thank you
good.
So much for having me.
Yeah, this is a topic, whether it's in the workplace or in everyday life, where respect, safety, and trust, man, do we need that. So tell us about the MindLight Group, a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into the topic for today.
Sure. So I own a company called the MindLight Group, and our methodology and philosophy is all around what you were saying. It's called, our methodology is under the umbrella called the Ready Zone. And because our vision is to really ensure that companies are ready to take on any challenges and opportunities that are before them. And we really firmly believe that the only way that they can really do that is to have a workplace culture where respect, safety, and trust are, like you said, as important and as measured as the bottom line. And we want to make sure that people have clarity, influence, and they feel that they can make the most impact and they're ready and powerful to take on whatever it is that comes in front of them. So that's what we do.
How did you get into that focus of work?
You know, it was funny because over the last year, I've been taking a really neat deep dive into looking at all the work that we've done, almost 20 years going on now that I've owned MindLight Group. And what is the one common thread that if it was inserted inside organizations would make all the difference? And that is really for how we value one another, our humanity, our humanness, and our respect for human life. And if there's one place where we have the opportunity for growing and developing this appreciation we have for each other and our humanity, it's really at work. We spend more time there more than any place else. And so while work is typically known as like the profit magnet or goods and services, but it's really the place to grow and develop our humanity. And so that's where, and the fabric of that is making sure that people have trust, respect, and safety. It doesn't work unless people feel it and experience it.
Have you found that that's been eroded in the past few years, or you know, what are companies doing that's strengthening that? You know, what are you finding?
Well, I think that there's a few things. It's a good question. So I find that I just think that things are more complicated because you have technology, generational differences, instantaneous shifting consumer behavior, the need for data to drive decision making. You've got divisive political climates. I know we're not getting into that. You have economic climate, economies of scale. And so that's why I think that it's become, I'm not saying that any workplace necessarily had it perfect, but I think that especially more recently where business is contracting and expanding simultaneously, that this is, I think it's becoming more of something that we need to pay attention to and we really need to move on. Because the data on it is, the data on creating environments of trust and safety are extremely high, the benefit of it.
The benefit of it. And does the responsibility for it only fall on the leadership, or who's responsible or accountable for that?
I would say that it's a fewfold. So it's if I'm working inside of an organization, it's my job to do what I can to build myself, to feel that I can trust myself, feel like I can respect myself, feel like I can feel like no matter where I stand, I'm safe because I make it so. And that's not an easy thing. Lots of times, for example, there's lots of leaders I work with that their environments become less than that because they don't have any boundaries. Excuse me, as an example. And so first of all, the one thing that I always say to people is like, what's the context of what you're living into in your work? Meaning that I usually speak of it in terms of legacy. Like, what's the legacy that you choose to leave behind that your work and the work that you do in this moment, not when you're in 50 years from now, exemplifies that? And then based on that as a context for what you're living into, what are the boundaries you're creating around you that you can really live that every day? Because we call that, you know, in the moment, the ready zone in the moment. And so to have these opportunities. And so you don't need anyone to declare that this is a boundary for you. You, of course, once you say it, like as a very innocuous example, I had a client of mine yesterday. We were talking about the fact that she's in a global role and she's answering emails all the time. And so we gave her an 8-to-8 boundary. She's not allowed to answer emails between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. because we were finding was that she was working till midnight, getting up at like 5, right back at it. And so there was no place where she wasn't respecting herself. She wasn't trusting herself that she could actually take care of herself because it wasn't happening. And she wasn't creating an environment of safety to know that that would all happen. So now by starting to put the boundary in place, we started talking about, okay, it's nice to have a boundary, but now you have to communicate it out. And so what do you need to tell people about what your boundary is, how you're honoring it, and how you're making that way for yourself? So I believe that to answer your question, not to go around the bandwagon, but trust, respect, and safety is something that you can create for yourself no matter where you are. It's a mindset and it's an action. And then of course, then it's the team, and then it's the organization. So it's threefold. There are three layers to it.
Mm-hmm. And the story that you told us, you know, she's also setting an example for her team. So if she's sending emails around the clock, it's telling the team, I expect you to be working 24/7 like I am.
That's right. That's right.
You know? And,
that's right. And
so
it's,
model it.
Yeah. Yes. We were doing an assessment for an entertainment organization, and we were measuring their effectiveness, how effective they were inside the organization. Because when we tend to start with doing our work with companies, we take them through this process of reframe, refocus, and realign. So when we were in the reframe part, we were assessing the effectiveness of the organization, we assess them with all these different internal client groups. We bring them all together and we're sharing out the data and what they want to do about it with the whole staff. And one woman stands up really bold and she says, you know, you stand here and profess work-life balance and you don't have any. And you're sending emails, I'm riffing off the email example, like as an example, you're sending me an email at midnight. Am I expected to respond to that? So I get up at 2 a.m. panicked because now it feels like an expectation and now I'm emailing you back. And the leader stands up, she goes, that's exactly not what I want. I don't want mm-hmm. that. I never said that. And the woman who is so bold said, but you are telling us that in your actions and you're not telling us not to do it. So how do we ever know? So then that was a time to actually not only set a personal boundary for her, because we had to curb what she was doing, but also for her team. It was a team boundary then as well. So that's how it also permeates.
That's such a universal example. I love that. And one of the things that we have listeners around the world to this podcast, and one of the things people don't know about you and your work is that you work primarily with the entertainment industry in Los Angeles, and I don't think many people have experience with that industry. And would you say that the work you're doing is, you know, is that industry or these organizations, are they any different than, you know, working in any other industry?
Well, it's interesting because I would say yes and, to quote a dear colleague of mine, meaning that we do work with executives in the entertainment industry globally, not just in Los Angeles, but globally.
Oh, okay.
And I would say that there are issues that are unique. So, for example, there are lots of consolidation happening. There's and that's affecting the products and services which we as consumers consume. So that is impacting that. There is more opportunities in some respects. And then in some respects, it's more, it looks a little monopolistic in some ways. So that's one way that it's a bit different. The, you know, the industry and what they're producing, what they're providing is different. At the end of the day, though, people are the same. There's no different. I worked several years ago in Uganda, Africa. People in Uganda want trust, respect, and safety. People in New York want trust, respect, and safety. People in Los Angeles, in Brazil, in Paris, in London, in Singapore, all want trust, respect, and safety. It may be nuanced in how it's delivered culturally and also for the kind of business you have, but the fabric is the same. It still goes back to our humanity, and it even goes back to a word I like to use, which is dignity, because dignity is all about how we value ourselves. And dignity doesn't change no matter what industry you're in. It's industry agnostic. It's culturally agnostic, too.
And how can people – so since this is universal and we're talking about the core of our being, our humanity and our dignity, what can people do today to be successful at work?
Yeah, so what we do is, it's a great question. There's lots of things. I think we're going to have to, what is that old adage, eat an elephant one bite at a time? But I would say that, what we do, we have what we call zone performance indicators, six zone performance indicators, you know, like KPIs, we call them ZPIs. And that is a way in which we can measure the effectiveness of trust, respect, and safety. And they're in the buckets of change ready, influence ready, resolve ready, impact ready, culture ready, and connect ready. And I'll dive in actually to the last one to give a very, very specific example. Most people talk a lot about, it's universal that when you're at work, you're going to need to deliver some message that is difficult to say. It just is the way that it is. It could be that it's in the realm of feedback. It could be in any realm. And you want to make sure that you're approaching that situation in the most neutral way possible, because you don't want to find yourself in a place where you're being, you know, what people would call emotional. I'm sure you've heard that before. Yeah?
Yeah. Yes.
So what I like to say is, in any conversation that you're going in that may be challenging, or your perception it may be challenging, I like to tell people to prepare for that conversation by answering, using the formula that we call the five A's. And I'll tell you what they are, and I'll explain it. So aware, accurate, acquire, accountability, and action. And let me be clear about what each of them are. So, and you can, what I call, this is like back of the napkin, meaning that you can write the answer to the questions I'm going to give you on a piece of paper, in your phone, in an app, on the back of a napkin while you're waiting for the tough conversation. Hopefully that's not the case. But so the first A is, what are you feeling? What are you truly feeling about the situation? And you get to write whatever it is. It could be that you're disappointed. It could be you're frustrated. It could be that you're upset. It could be that you're angry. It could be that you're sad. It does not really matter what it is. The most important thing is to make sure that you're in a place where you're really expressing it. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a leader like Sam. is a leader in an organization. She has to tighten her budget. She's got more work than ever before, but she wants to talk to her boss about it. But she's afraid that if she does, her boss is going to view her as not being up to the job, which happens a lot. So mm-hmm. the work is expanded. She's struggling to keep up. She's, you know, the emails, the meetings, travel, industry knowledge. So when Sam's journaling, she asks herself, what feelings are you aware of? What are you feeling? Are you frustrated that you can't seem to get ahead? Are you angry with your boss for piling on the work? Are you angry with yourself because you didn't set up check-in systems before you took on these three large-scale projects? The second A is accurate. What is the truth here of the situation? Because often we feel something, but that's not really – it's not the truth of the situation. So it could be in this situation that Sam refuses to tell his boss that he's overwhelmed because she thinks that her boss will be convinced that she can't handle the new workload and instead is going to pass it on to Jill, who's the new rising star. Now, mm-hmm. it could really be the truth that Sam is just smart and capable, but she's overloaded. But how do you communicate that to your boss? Acquire is what learning are you meant to get from the situation? What can Sam observe about herself and others? Could it be that she's learning that a project that was given to her had a lot of detailed analysis, which she's not really great at, not really her strength? And could it also be that Sam's boss is overwhelmed, which, you know, there's a cascading level of overwhelmness today. And so the fourth A is accountability, which is what is your part in the situation? Often when we are in a situation where something's tough, we have to deliver a tough message, even if it's feedback. Sometimes we may get into a bit of a, like, why is it happening to me? So in the same example about Sam, instead of maybe her blaming the company, maybe for poor business choices or blaming her boss, perhaps she can take advantage of the opportunity to speak up, shape a new project, ask for help, gain more allies. And then the last A is action. What proactive action can you take? And anything you do is action, even saying nothing is a choice. And sometimes, if you're engaging in a tough conversation, sometimes the action could be that you need to get more information, or it could be that you need to involve two other people in the conversation. So those are the five A's that you can apply to any work situation, any personal situation. It's a terrific formula.
Wow. So that's like something that you can do on your own. It's not necessarily
absolutely
something where if you're having a conversation with your manager, does it give you the tools to take in there? I mean,
what happens is that, let's say you're talking to your manager and you do, like what Sam has got to have this tough conversation with her manager. What it does is, by absolutely getting out and unpacking the way that she's feeling, what's the truth, what she's learning, her responsibility, her part in everything, what actions can she take? What she's doing is she's allowing for herself to be responsible for her own actions. And that in itself creates the environment of trust, respect, and safety for me. Then when you go into having a conversation with your boss, you now are able to handle whatever comes at you. Because you know, in a conversation, especially a tough one, I bring my judgments, my biases, my frameworks, my experiences, good or bad. You do too. And then what often happens is that goes to work with each other, spars. But by doing mm-hmm. the five A's, you get to actually be present in the moment, able to have a conversation in real time with what's really truly happening for the other person.
What I love about this, and what I hope the listeners are getting from this as well, is we talk a lot on this program about our reputation and how we build our reputation. And think about
yeah.
if you were to use these five steps and you are so prepared and really being open to being accountable, it really builds a great reputation for yourself as someone who's more of a problem solver than always going into – you know, your manager or, you know, your boss or your colleagues with your problems.
That's right.
And I
would
love
agree with you.
This as a tool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very much so.
Are these, you know, we look at some of the things that we can put in place as individuals in the workplace, whether we're in a leadership position or we are part of a team, whatever the case may be. But a lot of times putting habits in place make it easier to get into the ready zone. And so do you have, are there certain things, certain habits that are important for employees to put in place to be successful?
Yeah, well, there's several. Let's see, where does one start? I'll go back to what we started, since we already talked a little bit about this in the beginning, which is around boundaries. I really think that it's one of the most pivotal things to do in your life and revisit, is what are the boundaries that are really important to put in place, and then to communicate them out with respect, with trust, to be able to communicate it out appropriately. Because I find that oftentimes that people get very easily irked, very easily annoyed, because they have not put things in place. You know, as an example, I was talking to someone the other day, and she said, I tend to be the person that says yes, because I'll figure it out. I'll go off and I'll figure it out. She said, but you know what? I'm finding lately that that formula doesn't really work, because I say yes. Like she said, it happened to me the other day. I said yes to something, to us consolidating these teams and moving people geographically from one place to another. I said yes. And I left the room, and probably the next day I thought, what did I do? That's not the right move. So that's why I mean that, as an example, we talked about her putting into practice a boundary around pausing. When someone asks you for big decisions, you buy 24 hours of time, if possible, or at least an hour. You buy some time to allow yourself to reflect. That is really important, because she's now in the habit of being a yes machine. That boundary setting, anyone can do. You do not need a title. You do not need a power structure in order to create a boundary. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
You just
mm-hmm.
need to be able to identify it and then to be able to communicate it. So that's one thing I think that's in place. The second thing that I think is really powerful for women, since we're talking to women, to put in place is this notion around visibility. I think it's really critical that I really do believe that your visibility plus your level of influence gives you impact. And so if you amp up what I call your visibility quotient, that means how visible are you to other people? How much are you your best kept secret? No one is going to be able to promote you, elevate you, and hire you if you are not promoting yourself, sharing with people your accomplishments and what you're doing, taking on more, raising your voice, having a voice, having the confidence to be more in front of people. That, I think, is something that is not a simple, tiny thing to do. And I think
the
most important thing, especially for women, because we have a thing around it, to gaining visibility, I think, is critical. Even if you say to yourself, here's every week I'm going to connect with three new people or form a deeper relationship with three people. And you have the three every week. By the time you're done the month, you've connected with 12 people. And then to make sure that if you're doing those coffees or lunches or meetings with people, you have at least one point. I call it a must-make point. Your must-make point that you're sharing about your accomplishments, your achievements, not in a way of boasting, but a way to talk about, hey, here's what I've been up to. Here's what I've achieved. Here's something that I was stuck on and I found a way through it. That's really critical. Those are great habits for anyone to put into place.
Oh, thank you. Those are really solid examples and things that we could take away immediately from this. So is that all about being part of the ready zone? I want to get back to that. I think, you're writing a book on that topic. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, it is true. It is true. We're in the manuscript phase and editing phase. So, yeah, I mean, what we were just talking about, the five A's, that really comes under this notion of connect ready. this whole notion about visibility influence comes under the influence ready. So there's, you know, there's the boundary part of what we were talking about, which I think I don't think I can say more enough, is under this whole notion of resolve ready, meaning if leaders have strong boundaries, those inform their decisions and their determination. Mm-hmm. So it's really critical that you're on board with developing yourself. So yes, these fit into all these buckets that are very measurable, very practical, that absolutely measure this whole notion of trust, respect, and safety.
That's fantastic. And I know that people are going to want to be able to get in touch with you if they have any questions or if they want to learn more. And what is the best way to reach you?
It's super easy. All you have to do is go to my website. You go to mindlightgroup.com, mind like your head, light like a light bulb, group like all of us. Go to mindlightgroup.com. All you have to do is on the website, there's a way to connect, and happy to have a conversation and be in touch.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate that. And then parting words for us. What is a key takeaway? And you've given us so many, but if there's a key takeaway from today of what we can go and put into action today to feel that we are in that trust, respect, and safety zone, leave us with some words of wisdom.
I will say this, and it reflects back to the words that we keep saying this over and over again. In any situation you're in, ask yourself, in this moment, how do I bring trust, respect, and safety? Because especially when we are triggered, which happens quite a bit, someone says something and all of a sudden you're on fire and lit up. Because as you know, neurologically, it happens automatically. In that moment, when we are on fire and triggered, we have to have something that brings us back, brings us down. If we keep asking ourselves and have this question in our mind, how do I bring trust, respect, and safety right now? I'm triggered, but how do I bring that to the person I'm speaking with? How do I bring that to the way that I'm feeling? How do I bring that to the situation I'm in now? It will fundamentally change the outcome.
That's brilliant. I'm sure that as we're all absorbing that, we're thinking back to how we've handled situations in the past and saying, where was Dr. Weinberg when we needed her? Thank you so much.
I was thinking about it too when I was saying it.
Because like you said, our brain just takes off that amygdala hijack. I remember learning that about
That
fear that in your brain that just gets triggered. Whether it's something that someone said or an action that, has happened. But words of wisdom for sure. And we're looking forward to reading The Ready Zone when it's out. And in the meantime, we can go to your website at the MindLight Group. And I just want to thank you, Esther, for being our guest today.
And thank you so much for today. This is a great joy.
Thank you. That's our show for today. I'd like to say thank you to Esther Weinberg for being our leading lady today, and a special thanks to all of our listeners around the world. We'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show, Mondays at 9 and Fridays at 2, that's Pacific time. And it's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. So thank you for listening, and remember, your reputation is our business.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.